Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today we're tackling a story everyone thinks they know, the fall of Adam and Eve.
Oh yeah, Genesis chapter 3. Classic.
But we're going deeper than usual. We're using an academic lecture by Old Testament scholar Robert Vannoy to explore the psychology of that choice. Like, how did that surrender even happen?
See, that's what's so cool about Vannoy's approach. He doesn't just retell the story, he digs into the emotional and psychological process.
Okay, so not just what they did, but how they got there.
Exactly. He even breaks down Eve's journey from doubt to actually disobeying into 6 steps to show it wasn't just this instant thing.
6 steps. So not bam, apple eaten, huh? More like a slide down a slippery slope.
That's it, a gradual descent. And the first step is so subtle, it's almost easy to miss.
Oh, I'm intrigued already.
Think about how Satan starts with a question that seems innocent enough. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree?
Right, right. Sounds like he's just clarifying.
But there's a deeper implication there. Like maybe God is holding out on you, planting that seed of doubt.
Ah, it's all about the subtext, isn't it?
Mm.
But then Eve actually reinforces God's command.
You're right. She adds an "and you must not touch it." Which, if you go back to Genesis 2.1 SEMO, God never actually said.
So what's up with that? Why add to the rule?
That's crucial, according to Vannoy. By adding on, Eve shifts from simply obeying to deciding the boundaries herself.
So it's like, I'll make the rules now?
Exactly. And that shows a growing unease within Eve. He even compares it to, like, when little kids get told no.
Oh, I know that one.
They might make the rules stricter in their own minds almost to rebel against it.
I see what you mean. But isn't Eve, you know, a grown woman, not a toddler?
Yeah, good point. It's not a perfect analogy, of course. But Vannoy is just showing how easily our own anxieties can, well, twist how we see God's commands.
That makes a lot of sense. So this tension inside Eve, it sets the stage for what Satan does next, which is way bolder.
Right. He flat out contradicts God. You will not surely die. Tells her.
And that's where it gets really tricky.
You said it. Because now it's truth mixed with falsehood. Dangerous combo. Satan says, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Part of that's actually true, isn't it?
Yeah. Later in Genesis, God himself says humans have become like one of us, knowing good and evil. But the way Satan puts it, something feels off.
Exactly. He's twisting the truth. This knowledge of good and evil, it's not something to be desired. It means humans stepping out of their place, trying to decide right and wrong, which is God's role.
So it's not about knowledge being bad. It's about who gets to decide what's good and what's evil. Man, have you ever been in a spot where someone's twisted the truth to, like, manipulate you?
Of course. Happens all the time. That's why this analysis is so relevant. It shows how easily we can be fooled by arguments that sound good, but are based on a lie.
And Eve, she falls for it. Gets caught in this web of persuasion.
Sadly, yeah. Her human reasoning, swayed by what Satan's saying, leads her to take the fruit. And that, to Vannoy, is the heart of the fall. Humans choosing autonomy over obedience, setting themselves up as the ones who know right and wrong.
Which brings us to that moment when Eve offers the fruit to Adam and he takes it.
Oh, heartbreaking. And while Adam was responsible for his own actions, it really shows how sin can spread, especially in relationships built on love and trust.
So we've seen that slippery slope, how that surrender happened, like Vannoy describes. But what about the aftermath? What happens right when they eat the fruit?
This is where it's really interesting. Vannoy contrasts how gradual the lead up to the fall was with how suddenly the consequences hit.
So it's like, boom, everything changes.
Exactly. The eyes of both were opened. Remember that phrase? Echoes what Satan said earlier, but now it means something totally different.
Like a door's been flung open, and they see reality in a whole new way.
That's it. And what they see first is their nakedness. Now, gotta clarify, this doesn't mean they just now discover their bodies in a sexual way, right? God had already told them to be fruitful and multiply.
So it was okay to know about that part.
Right. But now, their nakedness takes on a whole new weight.
Like it's not just being unclothed, it's about something deeper.
You got it. It becomes a source of shame, symbolizing their separation from God, how vulnerable they are now.
And this is where Vannoy gets really thought-provoking. He says this shame isn't entirely negative. Like, it could actually be a safeguard. Wait, shame is a good thing. How does that even work?
Yeah, it sounds weird at first. But think of it like this. Shame is like a reflex, right? You mess up, you feel bad. And in a world where sins messed everything up, where people can use each other, shame can actually protect you.
It's like a warning signal. Hey, something ain't right here.
Bingo. It helps set boundaries, keeps you and others from getting hurt more. Mm. Of course, shame can be really bad, too, when it gets all twisted up inside you or used to hurt someone else. But Vannoy's saying, in its original form, it was meant to protect.
Interesting. So how does that help us today? We're not in the Garden of Eden anymore.
No, we're not. But think about healthy relationships. Especially in a marriage where there's love and respect, that shame lessens over time.
So you're not saying to be shameless, but to get to a place where, like, you're so connected that shame doesn't have that power anymore.
That's exactly it. It's about that oneness we read about in Genesis 2.25. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Right, right. That verse gets quoted a lot.
And it points to something really deep about human connection. True intimacy means you're vulnerable. And there's no shame in that. We can't go back to pre-fall innocence, of course. Sin's still a thing. But in a loving relationship with God at the center, you can get a glimpse of that original harmony, see what was lost. And this leads us to Vannoy's final point. The link between the fall and how messed up human relationships are in general.
Right. He doesn't just stay focused on Adam and Eve's individual choices. He zooms out to the bigger picture of how sin messed up how people connect, period.
You got it. And he sees this in so many ways, like power trips, manipulation, betraying trust, all stemming from that original break in human connection caused by sin.
And this tendency to exploit each other, that's strongest in the sexual realm, right? Makes sense why that sudden awareness of being naked is such a big deal.
You hit the nail on the head. Nakedness equals vulnerability, and that can be used against you. It's heavy stuff, but important to think about. Because if we can understand why we're so messed up, maybe we can start to heal to fix those broken connections.
Which brings us to the million-dollar question. If the fall is what started all this exploiting, what would fixing it, redeeming those relationships, even look like? How do we go from using each other to, like, truly loving and respecting each other?
That's the question, isn't it? Vannoy doesn't give us an easy answer, but he does point to that idea of approaching that pre-fall harmony, especially in a marriage where God's in charge. Choosing love over selfishness, being vulnerable instead of hiding, offering grace instead of judging. It's hard, but it can start to heal those old wounds and lead to a better way of being together.
So it's not about having a perfect relationship, but more like a journey, always growing and changing.
Exactly. It's messy, it's a challenge, but you're heading towards something good, even if you never fully get there.
Wow, so much to unpack here. We've really dug deep into Adam and Eve's story, but where does that leave us? You know, how does this fall thing affect people today, all these years later?
That's where Vannoy's work gets really, well, practical. He doesn't just keep this in the realm of, like, abstract theology. He ties the fall to that brokenness we see in the world right now.
So, less theory, more reality.
Exactly. And when he says brokenness, what does he actually mean? What does that look like?
Yeah, good point. Give us some examples.
Okay, well, think about how much exploitation there is. The way power gets all twisted up in relationships, how easily trust is shattered. Vannoy would say these aren't just, like, bad luck. They come straight from that original fracture in human connection that sin caused way back when.
So it's not just a few bad apples, but, like, a systemic problem affecting everyone.
Yeah, you could say that. And it's especially noticeable in how we view love, intimacy, sex. Remember, the very first consequence of the fall is that awareness of nakedness, that shame, like a big warning sign about how vulnerability can be exploited.
It makes me think of all the stuff we hear about consent, abuse of power, all those ways relationships go wrong. Is Vannoy saying it's, like, inevitable because of the fall?
Good question. Not inevitable, no. But he is showing how deeply sin has affected our instincts, how we relate to each other. It's like we're pulled towards selfishness, hiding ourselves, even manipulating others. We all struggle with it to some degree.
That's kind of depressing. So if we can't erase the fall, then what? Are we just stuck repeating these same broken patterns forever?
Actually, Vannoy's pretty hopeful. He thinks while we can't undo what's been done, we can make different choices. Remember how he talked about getting back to that pre-fall harmony?
Yeah, especially within marriage. But what does that actually look like? Sounds kind of, well, idealistic.
It is idealistic in a way, but not impossible. Vannoy points to three things. Choosing love over being selfish, being vulnerable instead of always protecting yourself, and offering grace instead of judging. Keep making those choices, and it creates a space where real connection can grow.
So less about finding the perfect relationship and more about a constant process, like always working at it.
You got it. It's going to be messy. It's going to be tough. But you're moving towards something good, even if you never totally reach it, which I think is encouraging. We're not just doomed.
This whole deep dive has been honestly eye-opening. We went from the details of Eve being tempted to like the global impact of the fall. I'm left feeling the weight of the problem and a little bit of hope, too.
And I think that's exactly the point Van Ooy was making, to make us aware of how deep this brokenness goes, affecting all of us, but also to show us that healing, fixing things, even redemption, those are possible.
Well, you've definitely given us a lot to think about today. For everyone listening, I hope this deep dive made you think, maybe even sparked some tough but important conversations in your own relationships.
And remember, you're not alone in this. We all struggle with connecting genuinely. But when we choose love, vulnerability, grace, that's how we start mending those old wounds and making the world better, one relationship at a time.
Beautifully said. And as always, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll be back soon with more fascinating ideas and perspectives. Until then, keep thinking deeply and engaging with the world around you.